Podcast.
Yes, welcome to the Game Manx Podcast. This is the official podcast of BrooklynKing.com. I'm your host, Brooklyn, here with none other than Scatino, a.k.a. Scat.
What up?
Scat's coming to you live from Manchester, UK. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, GA, and this is episode 164 of the Game Manx Podcast. This music you're hearing is from Street Fighter X Tekken. It's the theme for the Cosmic Elevator stage. Yeah, not as good as I remembered it. I don't know if there's any music from that game that really sticks out to me, you know?
Yeah.
It's not bad music, it's just not... There's no iconic songs that I've heard in that game. So I don't think that's what's up, though, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate not being annoyed, but at the same time, like, I feel like Street Fighter games are just... always had like classics, you know, certain songs you just like remember to with certain stages, and I feel like it's losing that in like the newer Street Fighter fighting games. Like, that's kind of sad to me. Oh, whatever. Yeah, that's kind of sad. I've been like scrambling more and more to make my own custom soundtracks or whatever and all that good stuff, but so we tried to record a podcast last week, but and I have like a good 15 minutes of talking, but then it just like cuts out. It starts getting robotic and the whole audio quality was horrible, and we tried a couple times and it just didn't work, so we just didn't do it. And I was pissed, so I didn't even bother putting it up. Like, I was like, fuck it, let's just do it over. But we're back, so there's a lot for us to cover, which is good. I feel like Street Fighter X Tekken, Cross Tekken, fuck, is like that game that we never really did talk about on the podcast. So, I wish Talon was here to talk, but I think between the two of us, we've played it. I've played it quite a bit. I was a week behind because the week it came out, I had to go out of town, but I tried to catch up, you know? I still haven't had a chance to play you, though, Scott.
No, not yet. We need to get on that.
Yeah, I mean, I could use an ego boost.
Fuck you. Talking all that shit.
Yeah. What the hell is this? Oh, from the trailer. I hate that J-pop shit. So yeah, but so what do you think, man? What are your impressions of the game? What do you think? How do you feel about it overall?
I think it's, well, to me personally, I think it's a lot more difficult to get into than Street Fighter 4 was, just because there's a whole lot more to actually get to grips to now that you're using two characters instead of one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's being able to, you know, manage your meter and knowing when to bring your partner in and all that kind of thing. So it definitely takes a while to get to grips to. But at the same time, I feel like the actual fight in itself is very, very satisfying. You know, pulling off all different kinds of combos and that. You know, it feels really good to actually do it and that. And it's definitely a lot of fun. Apart from, obviously, the online issues at the moment. Because I think, going back to what you were saying last week, that, obviously, we never posted. You know, with the sound cutting out when you're playing online, you know, you actually use those sound cues to know when your attack is hit and all that kind of thing. You know, you could, before that, you probably never even thought that you actually do listen out for those little sound cues, but now it's been effectively removed, you know, you can definitely sense it, you know, you can definitely feel that different effect when, the, you know, all the sound effects just, like, cut out and shit. So Capcom really do need to hurry up and release a patch for that, because it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and I guess what you're talking about is just the, right now there's some type of glitch where if you're playing online, it can randomly, the sound can randomly just cut out on you. And then, and you're, none of the sound effects really, or it's like, it seems like it's like certain parts of the sound effects may work and some don't. Like, I've had games where you can't hear the impact sound effects. So if you punch someone or you're blocking, those impact sound effects don't play at all. And it's kind of weird because I didn't realize how much I use those audio cues to, like, block or, you know, to cue up my next move or whatever. Because those kind of inform when you should, you know, jump or, you know, backdash or whatever the hell you're going to do, right? So it kind of throws me off for a loop whenever it happens, and it happens frequently. So the sound effects will cut out, and it's just weird. It feels weird playing the game. So it's pretty bad that that made it to the final version. But they did say they were going to patch it, but who knows when that's going to be, right?
Well, something was actually announced a couple of weeks back now. It was actually, yeah, last week it was. Capcom actually went through the whole shebang of what they were going to be releasing for this game.
Yeah.
And so they basically said all those all the DLC characters that, you know, they put on the disc, that's going to cost like $20 to unlock, $20 or 1600 Microsoft points. Obviously that will probably become available during the fall when the Vita version comes out, but then they're releasing a load of new costumes and colours and all that kind of stuff. And I think they said that the actual patch for the online is coming sometime in April, like the middle of April or something like that. Mm-hmm. But before they can patch the online, they have to get the first wave of fucking paid DLC out of the way.
That's the shit that pisses me off. It's like, they're coming up with this whole elaborate, these are all the things we're going to have to sell you. None of it's free. And then they're like, oh, yeah, that thing that's going to make the game work as it should, oh, that's coming in a couple weeks after when we start selling stuff to you, you know, people that bought the game already. It just makes you want to just say, fuck you, yo, really. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a lot of weird shit. You know, that and then the whole, like, you have to unlock, you have to basically go to the store to download the unlock key to unlock Mega Man and Pac-Man. And it's like, why aren't they just on the I mean, they're already on there. Why do I have to go through all that to unlock it? You know, it's like, that shit's weird, man. You could tell they were gonna sell those characters as well, you know.
And I don't know. On that bullshit.
But my I was playing a game again earlier this morning, and I like it. I think it looks great. It has, like, a lot of cool animations, and I think they took it a step further than Super Street Fighter 4 or whatever in terms of, like, all of the visual extras that they added in, the intro, character intros before the stages that are, like, multi-part, multi-round, it changes after the different rounds. All of that stuff is super cool, right? But what I don't like is I feel like they're going right back to the same bullshit that basically got them in trouble in the first place. And what I mean is that if you remember, like, when Third Strike came out, you know, you had Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Hyper, and all that good stuff. Then you had Super Street Fighter 2. And that was cool. They added super moves, and it was like, okay, I can understand what a super move is and meter and all that. Cool. And then, you know, Alpha came out, and they added Alpha-isms and all of that crap. And then we were like, okay, I get it. You know, meter, cool. I understand a meter. Super moves, cool. I understand the super moves. Alpha-isms is when we were like, really? But I get it. And then Third Strike came out, and it was like, we got parries and all of this other shit, and then negative edge and all of this shit. And then it was just like, at that point, it got real convoluted, and people were just like, come on. Like, you know, it becomes a game that's not for most people, and I think Street Fighter 2 was great because it was, it, you know, you had six buttons, six kicks, and then there were just some special moves that you needed to know that were all on the cabinet, you know? Like, it was all, they were able to fit all of that on the actual arcade cabinet. And I feel like now, you know, it's just too convoluted. Like, if you don't play the shit 24/7, it takes way too long for you to get good enough to get happy with it, you know? And to not get your ass destroyed online. And it's just like, I think they just added, there's a lot of features in the game I think they could have just left out, like the gems, I think.
Definitely.
It's just like, why? Like, there's already a shitload of characters with all of these special moves, right? So you have a bunch of special moves, a bunch of characters, super moves, ultra moves, tagging, tag combos. If that's not even enough, now they're gonna like, oh, on top of that, let's add gems. And this gem gives you 10% off strength. And this gem gives you 10% speed. And this gem gives you 20% blocking. And it's just like, ugh, like, I don't wanna fucking start calculating gems and like, worrying about that. Like, I have enough to think about with just trying to be, play the game good, you know?
Yeah.
I just think it's just like convoluting it in an unnecessary way. Like, we don't need that. Like, I don't think it adds enough to do anything but make it more frustrating and like more of a divide between good players and like casual players. You know, like somebody who has the dope gem combination is gonna have an even bigger heads up over me. Because, A, I don't even understand it. I mean, I get what it's about, but I'm just saying, like, I'm not the one that's, like, sorting through all the gems and picking the right combinations and getting presets and gems. And, you know, like, people who don't do that shit are at a disadvantage on top of the fact that they already are at a disadvantage because they're not playing it all the time. And I think that's just, like, stupid. Forget it, keeping the game appealing to people who are casual players. Because then you get to a point where you're just like, you know what? I don't even want to play fighting games because I'm always getting my ass beat. And it takes way too long for me to try to understand how to do the basic things I need to be competitive. Right? And that's kind of like what turned me off to Marvel 3. Is just that for me to get competitive, it'll take me so much time that I'm not willing to put into it, you know, because I feel like it shouldn't take that long. Like, I should be able to buy the game, maybe look through a couple move lists, and then play. Like, I don't need to, like, be counting frames and, you know, doing all that shit. Like, who the fuck wants to count frames? Like, that shit is not fun. You know?
Exactly. I mean, it's like, when I was playing Talon last week, that shit weren't fun whatsoever, just because he's in the mind frame of playing the game technically and doing all that kind of shit, you know, frame traps and all that, and playing against someone who doesn't know about that and has no interest in that, like me, that shit ain't fun.
Right.
I mean, he was pulling off shit that I just could not get out of whatsoever. It felt like I was playing Marvel vs. Capcom 3. You know, when you get locked into these infinites and you don't know how to get out of it and all this right. bullshit, that's what he was doing, and he was constantly saying, it's because I'm putting you in frame traps. It's like, you can't do shit. It's like, well, this ain't fun for me.
Right.
It's fun for him because he's winning, but on a person on the receiving end of that who doesn't understand any of that, then what's fun about that? You know, so it was like,
Right. And that's the thing is also like, Not even say that. There's a ton of people out there who are not going to be willing to put in the time to learn frame traps and framing, you know, to be able to learn those things that's going to allow you to be competitive, you know? It's just like, I feel like I should be able to learn the tools really easily, learn the move sets, and once I do that, it should be about, you know, strategy and when to use the tools. Like, I shouldn't have to, like, I feel like there's this way, that learning curve is way too high because of all of that shit that they've added. Like, and that, you know, that goes into territory of where I'm not willing to go because I don't have that kind of time, you know?
Yeah.
Or I want to play other shit too, you know? So it's like, out of the gaming time I have, either I could just play this game to learn to get to that level, or I could not play it and play two other things, you know, like, or three other things instead of just this. So,
yeah, but you know, it makes me laugh because all the way up until release, you know, they were going on, oh, this is going to be like the most accessible fighting game there is. You know, we want to bring in all different players, no matter what your ability is. And I think, well, for somebody who's never played a fighting game before, anything like that, you know, I can't see them being able to throw this game on and having fun. At least not playing online.
Right.
You know, maybe like local games with their friends and shit. But if you throw, for a beginner person, they throw this game online, they're gonna get raped, end off.
Yeah.
You know, I think this like you've already said, there's far too much shit going on that, you know, you need to, you know, bear in mind, and all the gems, it just does make it far too convoluted. You know, so I definitely don't think this is a game that, you know, they've made more accessible to the general population.
Mm-mm.
Of gamers.
I think it's the opposite.
I think it's definitely caters more towards that hardcore crowd. And, you know, the tournament players who do play this shit for a living, and that's all they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, you know, those are the negatives. That's not to say the game isn't fun at times.
Right.
You know, the game can be a lot of fun, especially if you just, you know, when I was playing with Mad Dragon, you know, because both of us are just not technically minded one bit about the game, so we were just fighting, we were just having fun, you know, just pulling off any like little combos that we've learned, and we had a lot of fun playing it. But then it was just a whole different ball game when face someone like Talon who plays that shit to play that game, you know.
Right.
So yeah, but it like I said, it is still fun, so do enjoy it. But yeah, we definitely do need to get some games going.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is fun though. I mean, you know, I'm gonna have some fun with it. I think it's a game that I'll tell you a funny story though. So I bought the game, I played it like for like 10 minutes, and I had to jump on the plane to go to South by Southwest, but then I came back, and I think that next day I was over Spacebar's crib, and I brought that with me, and I brought King of Fighters 13 with me, and I brought something else. I don't remember what it was. So we were like, all right. So he popped in Street Fighter Cross Tekken, and we were playing it. And we were playing it, and we were like, oh, okay, this is cool. And then we put in King of Fighters 13 in, and we had way more fun with that game. Like, it's just way more accessible, you know, like, it has a lot of depth, but it's just like, you pick a character, you pick your characters, and then once, it's just like, yo, once you learn those characters' super moves, it just seems like it's like less, I don't know, man. It seemed like there was less just shit, like less mechanics to learn, or you could win without even knowing all of that stuff, you know? It was just more straightforward, like fighting and combat and blocking and punching and countering and stuff. It was, and less, and you know, I don't know. I think that the King of Fighters 13 is more fun to play than Street Fighter Cross Tekken. It's my personal opinion. I think that game is super dope, and online is good too. There's a lot of people online. Like, I put it on like 3 bars. It's 4 bar. 4 is the highest connection, and then there's 1, and then you could put only give me people with 3 bars or higher, you know, and that shit seems to work for me. But Street Fighter Cross Tekken is cool, though. Like, the stage designs, I think, are really dope. They really went the extra mile, like, with the care that they put into, like, this designs of the stages and stuff. Like, all the stuff that's going on in the background is really dope. Like, they really stepped up the whole design as a whole, you know?
Yeah.
The character loading screens, the character select screens, all of those screens and previews and character motions and pre-battle stuff, and right after you lose your character, like, how they, like, look back up at the camera and all that stuff, and it's just dope. I think they just, you know, the design, I think, is great. The watercolor-ish, cel-shady-ish look to it, I think They did a great job on the Tekken characters and the Street Fighter characters. Like, because, you know, Tekken characters have that blocky whatever, you know? They're kind of, like, notoriously stiff. I feel like they did a good job designing the Tekken characters in a Street Fighter type of world, you know? Where yeah. It doesn't look... It feels like Tekken. Like, you're never thinking, oh, this is not like Tekken, you know? And I haven't heard anybody complain about the Tekken characters not playing like Tekken, I think. So I think they did a really good job with that stuff. I just wish that they had a way to turn off gems completely, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know that, yeah.
They just need to get rid of that shit.
Yeah, it's horrible. And then they had that whole controversy about the pre-order gems being better than any other regular gems. So it's like, why do you need the regular gems if the pre-order bonus gems are just, like, way superior, you know?
Yeah, but not only that, now they've announced that they're releasing a load more gems. Apparently, after the patch, there's going to be a title update that's going to add another 60-plus gems to the game.
What?
It's like, who wants that? Who wants crazy. All those gems?
I don't even want to look through 60 gems once.
It's like, fuck that shit. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
But
I mean, saying that, like, just before release, we were all kind of talking about what's Capcom going to fuck up.
Right.
You know, and they definitely did fuck up on a few things.
Right.
You know, so I'm just waiting for the day that Capcom can just release a game that is complete.
Yeah, because I had put the thread up. I was like, what are they gonna fuck up on? Is it gonna be the costumes, netcode, it was going to be something.
And they fucked up on the netcode.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. But, you know, hopefully that patch will sort it out. And that patch can't come quick enough at this moment.
Yeah. I mean, it did some cool stuff, too. I like the fact that two people can get online as a team, you know?
Yeah.
And then fight other challengers. Because I fought some people like that earlier where... it was just two people, not even in the same house, playing as a team against me, and I beat those bitches too. Yep. It's cool. I like the fact that you could pick, like, Ryu and Ken and have, like, the Dream Team Shoto team, you know? That's pretty dope. That's something I always wanted to do ever since Alpha. I think Alpha 3, where you have Ryu and Ken going against Bison and all that stuff.
Yeah.
In the grass or whatever. So, that's cool. I must admit, though, from being at Final Round and watching all of those matches, those King of Fighters 13 matches, I'm glad I bought the game because that game is super dope, super underrated. I think that's my favorite fighting game right now. Blaze Blue is right under it. Whatever. There's been times when I've been playing Street Fighter Cross Tekken and I've thought, like, it's made me want to just go just play straight up Street Fighter again because I'm only picking Street Fighter get characters anyway. At least when I'm in, like, a online match, because I feel like I have a better chance of winning if I pick, like, a Ryu and Ken. And then when I play arcade mode, I pick, like, some of the Tekken characters and try to, like, learn their movesets and stuff and their normal moves. But, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, whatever. So, I would say, yeah, King of Fighters 13, it's like $40, $39 in the store. It's worth it. I think that game is dope. Spaceballs and I played that shit for quite a bit. And he had never really played it before, and we were both picking up moves as we were playing, and it wasn't like we had to like watch a tutorial to figure out the basics. So what else do we have on our agenda? We have Journey.
Journey. Yeah. Hell yes. Well, I've written my review on it. Mm-hmm. I thought the game was great. Really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a beautiful experience. You know, a nice chilled out game. Something completely different to anything else I was playing. You know, and I think, you know, riding off the success of Flower as well, I think, you know, that game company really surpassed that in every way. And it's just one of those games that I think that you have to play, you know, that you have to support these kind of games so we can see more of them, you know. So yeah, just my quick little review there.
Yeah,
just go. I mean, it's difficult to talk about Journey without spoiling it, you know, for those people who haven't played it, you know. But all I can say is just buy it. Just buy it, you know.
Yeah, you won't feel like you got ripped off.
No way.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, there's not that much we could say about it without spoiling it. So, let's move on to Trine 2. That's on the list. So we could both pretty much say we recommend Journey.
Yeah. Trine 2, I love Trine 2. I'm nearing the end of it now, I think. Yeah, I think I've got a few more stages to go. I think if you enjoyed the first Trine, then you definitely enjoy this one. For me personally, I like the characters. I love the quirkiness of it. The game just looks beautiful, and to me, you know, the graphics and all the colours that they've got going on with the music as well, it just makes me feel dead relaxed when I'm playing it. You know, it's not like you know, my reflexes have to be on point and all this kind of shit like I've been needing to do in playing fighting games and shooters. You know, it's just a relaxing game for me to play. And I just really enjoy it. I think some of the puzzles are really good that they've put in. I can't recommend that game at all. But obviously you've got very, very different thoughts on it.
Yeah, I just thought, I mean, I liked the concept of it, and I did have some fun with it. I just feel like, after a while, you just like, it feels like I'm going from room to room, like, puzzle room, you know? It doesn't flow seamlessly enough for me. It feels like, it might as well have just been like, they could have just pulled the narrative out of the game, and just gave me, like, a series of puzzles, and just labeled them, like, Challenge Room 1, Challenge Room 2, you know? Like, at a certain point, it just seemed to degrade to that to me, because it was, I did fight some bosses, and But it never really felt like a narrative, or it really felt like it was tied together in a way that made me care about that, you know? It was kind of just like, oh, well, past this part, whose powers are you going to use to get to that next door? Or, and it's just all from left to right, so it's kind of like, oh boy, here we go again. You know, like, I don't know.
But yeah, I can see your point. I can definitely see your point.
But it, you know, I had fun with it, I guess. I think it's cool, the differences in their powers, and yeah. I mean, it's definitely not for everybody, but it's definitely, I would not say it's a bad game. I would just say I personally lost interest, but I also lost interest in Fallout 3, you know? So,
yeah.
Some people love that shit, so.
Okay. But I also think, you know, for those of you who like these kind of games, like little puzzle platformers, I think there's definitely enough content there, you know, that's worth the asking price. Because I think when the first Trine was first released on the PlayStation Network, I'm sure it cost me like either £15 or £20. Mm-hmm. And then Trine 2, even though I got it for free off PlayStation Plus anyway, for those who haven't subscribed to that, I think it was only $9.99, so it's cheaper than the first game, and with a lot more content as well. The game seems a lot longer, plus online co-op is there this time around instead of just local, so that's another added bonus. So yeah, but I think, like I say, one of the reasons I really enjoy it is it's just a different change of pace. You know, it's not trying to be the most realistic game in the world. You know, it's not trying to have the most realistic graphics, but yet the graphics are gorgeous. And, you know, it kind of, like, reminds me of, like, a Disney film or something like that with the graphics and, you know, because of all the colours and all that going on. It's nice to see so much colour in a game.
Yeah.
You know, we don't see that often enough this generation.
Yeah, like, I mean, nice certain uses games of the colour.
Have, but, you know...
True.
You know, it's just nice.
It's a visually...
It's nice to look at.
It's a definitely visually appealing, pleasant game. I will not... Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, I think...
Try
the demo. And if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber, at least, then you've got no reason to complain because it was free for that first week. So, there you go.
I don't think it was free in the US.
No, it was free for those in Europe because of how long it got delayed. It came out in the US in December. It also came out on Xbox Live Arcade in Europe in December, or whenever it first came out, but then the PSN version just got delayed by like 3 months, so it was just an added little bonus.
Mm.
And the soundtrack is to die for. I love that soundtrack.
Okay, so moving on, we have MotorStorm RC. Right?
Yes. MotorStorm RC. So, in fact, I'm interested to hear your impressions of that game because I'm sure I've mentioned mine before.
What were yours?
When I got to play the game, well, when I played the demo at the PlayStation Access event in Manchester, I hated it.
Oh, you said it was shit.
Yeah, and then I picked up the full version because it was dead cheap at launch, and I actually got more into it. I actually prefer playing it on the PS3 than I do on the Vita. For some reason, I couldn't get to grip with the controls on the Vita and those analog sticks. I don't know what it was. I just couldn't get to grips with it. But I downloaded it onto the PS3 because obviously you get that free copy, and I enjoyed it a lot more. I think.
Oh, wait, so you guys didn't get the free version. You had to buy it, but you got the PS3 version if you bought it, right?
Yeah. I mean, if we bought one version, we get a free version.
Right.
So I downloaded it onto the Vita, and then I got the free PS3 copy. So, and it was only like what, £3 something, I think the game was. So it's nothing really, like for two copies of the game. So yeah, I think the stages are like pretty nice. I like the fact that it goes through like all the Motorstorm games, you know, themes from all of them, like Pacific Rift and Apocalypse and Arctic Edge,
right?
You know, and Monument Valley. So it's good that they take all those different themes and put it in. And I think, yeah, I think, you know, just something to pass a bit of time, you know, pick up and play for like 5, 10, 15 minutes. I think it's a really good game. Obviously, it's unfortunate that you can't play against your friends online.
Yeah.
It's all leaderboard based.
It's all ghosts. You're all always racing your friends' ghosts. And it's not even really their ghost. It's kind of like an arrow representing their ghost, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I don't know. Maybe it was down to just development time, or because they knew the cost of the game.
Budget.
And they couldn't afford to keep servers up or whatever. I don't know, but it definitely is a bit of a disappointment. But then again, you know, the game was like one of the highest reviewed, it seems, you know, on the Vita's launch. So, I mean, like I say, going off the demo that I played, I was expecting that shit to get horrible reviews.
Right.
And then like the first ones come out, and then I was like, oh right, so you know, I'll give it another chance, and because I already have money in my PSN wallet anyway, so I thought fuck it.
Right. And I noticed you haven't been playing it a lot because I've been beating all your times.
You ain't been beating shit.
Yeah man, your times is all done.
Alright, well, we'll see about that one.
Your shit's all destroyed. Destroyed. Yeah, because I started getting to some of the levels, and I, you know, like when you're playing one of those leaderboard games and you get to certain levels and you notice that none of your friends are playing those levels, like there's no friend time score to beat. I'm like, fuck, what happened, dudes? Like, yeah, that shit sucks. So I kind of stopped playing it because of that, because I was like, I was beating the computer, but I wasn't beating you guys, and I was like, fuck it, well, what's the point? It's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a cool, like you said, I think it's a cool game to pass the time, like, it's like RC Pro-Am for the NES back in the days, and like, you know, I switched it so that the acceleration is on R1, the shoulder R1, and then I can just, like, change the direction of the car with my D-pad, and I found that to be the best way for me to control it. So the twin sticks thing wasn't working for me, like one stick for acceleration and one for controlling it was like,
yeah,
it was a mind fuck for me.
That proper threw me off. I was like, I can't play this shit.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's like, fuck that.
Yeah, I couldn't play it that way, so yeah, I had to definitely change it. And once I changed the controls, it was really you know, easier to play. So yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's free for people. I don't know if it's free anymore, but it's a nice little game to play. I also been playing Ridge Racer Vita, so I'm gonna just go ahead and say it, like, I caved and I bought it. I just said, fuck it. I've read some cool stuff. I was on NeoGAF and I was reading some people like, yo, this is not bad. This is pretty good. And I was like, oh, fuck, Ridge Racer, you know? Because that was, like, my favorite game for... I had, like, three games that I played the shit out of... Well, four. Four games I played the shit out of on PSP. Ridge Racer 2... which is the version that didn't come out in the States, right? Peace Walker, Outrun 2006, and those are the top three. I can't remember what the other one is, but Ridge Racer 2 for PSP, I have to talk about that, this, because this is the game it gets compared to. Ridge Racer Vita gets compared to Ridge Racer 2. Now, Ridge Racer 2 on the PSP never came out in the States, like I said, and it had, like, tons of tracks and tons of music. Like, the campaign, I think I might have dumped, like, 40 or 60 hours into the campaign alone. Like, matter of fact, I'm gonna boot up my PSP if it has to charge, just so that I could verify how many hours I put into this shit, cause like the campaign is so long. Like, it has like all of these grids, like over 100 events, and you keep unlocking cars, and there's all these tracks. There's like over, I want to say, man, I need to just look it up. But I think part of why the Ridge Racer for Vita is getting such bad reviews is because it's compared to like this game, and this game had so much content. Because basically what they did was they took the original Ridge Racer game for PSP, and then for part 2 they just took all of the content from part 1, put it in part 2, added more tracks, added more music, and then added a shit ton of like career events or whatever. Like, the career mode just made it even really long since they didn't have to make as much content. So this is what it says. It says this sequel is also packed with cars and tracks, included the highest number of courses yet seen in a Ridge Racer game. 18 courses from the previous games, spanning from Ridge Racer, the original, to R4, Ridge Racer Type 4. 6 machine classes, each with 3 cars to begin with, as well as a number of secret cars and special classes. So 18 tracks, right? You could play 8 players online. World Tour, Time Attack, Wireless Battle has all that shit. All these secret cars, like, you can unlock, like, the Devil Car and the Angel Car, Angelus, and all that stuff. All of these, like, novelty cars that you can unlock. It's pretty crazy. So, you come from this game that has 18 courses, and then you go to one that they're charging, what, $24 if you get the digital version, and $29 in a store. But you only get, like, 5 courses, right? And then you get like 5 cars or some crazy shit like that. So it's like people are like, yo, what the hell? Like, I just came from playing this game that had 18 courses and you giving me 5, right? So, yo, it sounds ludicrous, but the game is still pretty fun. Like, honestly, I've been playing it and graphically it's dope, of course. Sound wise, it's dope. If you buy it, if you buy it before April 30th, I think, you get the gold pass, which basically gives you like 60 music tracks that you could download. And then there's, you get 2 extra courses. So it comes with 3 and then you could download 2. So you pretty much have 5 courses, 60 tracks of music, and then, some cars. So within the 5 tracks, of course, there's the reverse versions of those that play different. And then, so mostly what it is that the game is mostly about online play. And I think that it's just the fault of Namco because they didn't really market the game well. Because they should have let people know that, hey, there's not that much content on here because there's no career mode on there. Because really, you do most of the leveling up when you play online. Yeah. Because there's all of these ghosts you could download from people online, and then you could literally get in lobbies with people online, and it seems to be really centered around the online experience for the most part. I mean, you can play offline in quick races and ghost battles and ghost duels and all that stuff, but the most of the fun is going to take place by racing real people online, you know? But the UI is really, like, the game itself, I mean, you could tell that they put some time into, like, the presentation, like, the game, the UI, the way it, it like scrolls from left to right, like the whole screen is the UI, and you could like flick the screen left and right and kind of like to see the different options, and it's really cool. You could customize the cars, and you earn points that you can use to add upgrades to different vehicles, and you have your garage, and you could upgrade different cars and like change the paint and all that stuff. But I think what all they really need to do is be consistent with the content, because like if they do that, I think it'll be worth it. Like if they come with like a new pack and it's like the, you know, camp Grand Prix or something like that, like they need to drop like a Grand Prix DLC that's like a full campaign, you know, and make it like $1.99, you know? Like if they did stuff like that, I think they could get people to say, "Oh, okay, you know, or whatever." And then, you know, I think they should do like that campaign packs, and then they should also do just more level packs, even if it's just like a throwback level pack, and they just have like, you know, 8 courses from old Ridge Racer games, and then they bundle that in, you know, like stuff like that. I think will keep the game, will get people to see the value. But I think as it is, if you're a fan of Ridge Racer, you should buy it. But if you're not necessarily a Ridge Racer fan, I wouldn't buy it, because you're not going to be as willing to dig to find the experience, because the experience is there. But I think for people who are fans, they're going to appreciate it, and people who are not, it's not going to be as accessible, because you don't have like career modes to kind of take you through the experience. So
like, how's the frame rate? Because I heard before they patched it, it was shite.
Yeah, so I played it when I first downloaded it, because I got the digital version because it was cheaper, and because I like digital. But it played okay. Like, it wasn't as bad as I heard. But then after I patched it, like, the frame rate is good. You know, like, it's smooth, solid. You get a sense of speed when you're playing it. Frame rate is definitely not a problem anymore at all. Like, I haven't seen it dip, even when I've been, like, rounding the corner with, like, 3 other cars, you know? I haven't really, like, seen it doing anything crazy. And it looks really good. Like, the graphics are really well done. Just the way the road looks and the lighting. And, yeah, it's a really pretty game. So I think, yeah, I think it's ballsy of them to do what they did. But I think whether or not it's going to be a success for fans as well, whether fans are going to love it, is if they have to follow up. Namco has to follow up with those DLCs. Like, don't release a shell of a game and then not release the content for it, right? Like, so they need to, like, release that stuff that's gonna, like, fill up the game, you know? I don't really mind that the game is not, like, super deep, because honestly, like I said, I don't only play my Vita when I'm, like, mostly on the road. So there's enough stuff there for me to fuck with if I have 15, 20 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour here and there. You know, so I'm not mad at it, but, you know, so I think it's cool. I think it's cool. I don't think it's as bad as people thought. I'm not pissed that I bought it, you know, or whatever. So I give it a plus. I give it, like, if I had to rate it out of 10, I would give it a 7, you know. As it is, with the ability to become an 8 or a 9 if they release content for it that's reasonably priced, right? So they're going to have to release a lot of shit for it, and it's going to have to be priced reasonably. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, because some of the DLC for the RC, MotorStorm RC stuff is reasonably priced. Like, I bought the RC Pro-Am pack for that, and it was like $1.99, you know? Or $1.50. Like, if they come with, like, prices like that, then I'll be like, cool, you know? I'll buy a pack of cars or a couple tracks if it's like a dollar or two, you know? So we'll see. I'm just loading up the game on my PSP to see if how much time I put into it, because I put tons of time into this shit. This game is still dope.
I don't think I've ever put that much time into a racing game.
Oh, really? Not even when they had Burnout Paradise? I put like 40 hours into that game. Something like that.
Possibly, yeah. Burnout Paradise, possibly. I put a lot of hours into that. I platinum that, so...
Yeah. I'm trying to find where I,
Speaking of Burnout Paradise, you need to hurry up and release another one. Shit.
Yeah, right? I think that team was working on something else, though, right? 3 years old
or something? I need to get onto that shit.
I'm trying to see what my... If I could find how much time I've put into this shit. It says... cannot see it. I'm on 33. Hold on, let's see. 33. Each. I'm on 33, the 33 tour. Each of them have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So 15. Each of these has 3. So. I'm gonna try to give you an example of how long this campaign thing is. It has, I have to bust out my calculator. So, Ridge Racer 2 for PSP has, each bracket has 15 boxes. Each box has 3 races. So that's 15 times 3. Right? So 45 races in a box. And then I'm on the 33rd box. So that's 45 times 33. That's 1,485 races I've had.
Wow. Shit.
That's how long the campaign is. So 45 races per tour box. And I'm on the 48th. And I think like when you go through the... when they show you the intro movie, they show you that there's like over 100 of them, you know? Like, it's crazy. And then you could create your own and all that stuff. I'm trying to find where it tells you how long you've been playing and stuff. I can't find it, though. Damn, what the hell? Yeah, it doesn't tell me. Damn it. Anyway, so, what do we have next on our list? I guess, I don't know. Everything else is not new, so you want to just go into what we've been playing?
Yeah.
Okay. Damn right. Damn right.
Games we played this week.
Okay, so I'll go first this week. So first game I've been playing a lot of is Skyrim. Back on Skyrim. Addicted to it all over again. It's like... again, I've got a love-hate relationship with Skyrim. You know, it was my game of the year 2011, but you know, I had to stop playing that game because of all the issues that was going on surrounding Skyrim, all the technical issues that was happening with that game. I just had to stop playing until Bethesda come up with a solution to fix the game, or at least fix the PlayStation 3 version. I just had to stop playing. So from like the beginning of December, I think I've hardly touched the game. Hardly touched it. and this past week I actually got back onto it, and I actually thought I put more hours into it than I actually did. When I booted up my save, I think I only put in about 25 hours into it, and I was at level 18. Well, since Thursday, those hours have gone way past the 40 hour mark, and I'm now a level 32. So I've been busting my ass for this game, and it, you know, every time I play the game, I just get lost in it. I just get lost in the world, and before I know it, 2-3 hours has gone by. You know, there's just so much to do, so much to see, so many things that I haven't even discovered yet. I mean, you get a trophy for discovering like 100 locations. I've discovered about 150 up to now in 40 hours worth of play, and as far as I know, there's 300 locations to discover.
Damn.
So there's a lot to see, there's a lot to do, and you know, so some of like the quests that you go on are like really memorable, like quite funny in that. So one of the quests that I was doing just before we started this podcast is, you know, I walked into one of these towns and I walked into one of the little shops, and I saw this girl walking about in one of like the little stores. So I started talking to her, you know, just to see what she had to say, and she was kind of talking about how she feels really down and everything. You know, the shopkeeper that she works for treats her like a slave, and she really wants to get her own back on her and all this. So you kind of like ask her if there's anything you can do. So she starts telling you this story about like the shopkeeper keeps like sleeping with these guys around the town. She said, really? She talks about how she's bedded like 3 guys in the past month, 3 different guys.
So the shopkeeper's a woman.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm like, okay. So this girl says, every time she sleeps with a guy, she gives him this little medallion thing, like a token. And she asks you to go and find these guys throughout the town and to persuade them to give you the medallions back, in order to go show the shopkeeper, mm-hmm. to embarrass the shit out of her, basically. Just so she can, like, see her face and, you know, kind of get her own back in that way, you know, from the way that she's been treated. So I accepted, like, the quest to go do it. The quest is only, like, 2 minutes long. But then you're talking to these guys, like, in the town. Some of them are married, so obviously, like, they want to keep it all hush-hush and everything, so... first of all, they try and say, I don't know what you're talking about, but then you push the situation. And then there was this one guy in particular, you know, I was asking him about this woman, and he was denying it at first, and then I was pushing him, and he said that she wanted him to take her inside the stables and all this shit, and he had to oblige to that and everything. I was like, damn, this game's raw as shit. And I just found it hilarious. And then after I got all these medallions back, I took them back to the shopkeeper, and she was like, oh no, how did you get hold of these? And no, please don't show anyone else, you know, and all this. And like, she bribed you basically not to like go telling anyone else around the town and shit like that. So just little quests like that are just like really memorable, and I think, you know, they're very well done for a quest that lasts like 2-3 minutes. You know, there's humour in it, there's comedy, there's drama, you know, I think little things like that are really well done within the game. And yeah, you know, it's Skyrim, so it's just so much to do. And despite the technical difficulties, it's like I was saying to you, there has been a few patches now since like the last time I played it, and in the last 15 hours that I've put into the game, I've had no issues, no like game breaking issues. There's like been no crashes or anything like that. The frame rate, you know, dips every now and again, but nowhere near to what people were experiencing before, you know, literally calling it unplayable. You know, there are some bugs that I still do see, like, for instance, in the distance, I'll see, like, a mammoth just taking off into the air and shit, and then landing and killing itself. Just little weird bugs like that. Does draw you out of the experience a bit, but as far as I know, it's nowhere near as bad as it was. So, I guess it remains to be seen just how deeply it's going to affect my save file within the next 20 hours of play. So I've been on that. I've also been on Borderlands again, past couple of weeks. I've been trying to platinum that game. It's annoying the shit out of me at the moment. One of the trophies I need to get is to get my character to level 50, and I'm at a level 43 at the moment, but it just takes so long to level up your characters now. Because you're pretty much, in Borderlands, you pretty much get experience for everything you do. So, completing a quest, and for every, like, enemy you kill, you'll get experience for that. And I've done so many quests over the past week, killed so many people, and I think I've leveled up, like, twice. And it's like, I can't keep playing this shit on my own to get all the way to level 50. But Borderlands is a game that, you know, I came back to after all the hype died down for it. You know, I didn't really enjoy it the first time round, and I decided to give it another chance, and I'm glad I did, because I enjoyed it a lot more the second time around. So I'm definitely looking forward to part two.
Oh, really? I enjoyed playing Borderlands with you and, I think I played it pretty much with everybody, like you, Shooter, Illmatic, Talon. But the thing that I could never get over was the headshots thing. Like, that whole, I understand the whole XP, and the more XP you have, the more, you know, the more you're able to, like, it was weird to me. Cause I mean, first you have, you know, certain enemies have a certain amount of XP, and then you can't kill them until you take that many points away from them, right? So every time you shoot them, they minus whatever points that shot will minus from them. But the thing that pissed me off was that if you shot them in the head, it didn't matter because you had to, it wasn't about where you shoot them as much as it's about making sure, or when it comes to headshots, it's about having a shot that depletes past their XP level. So if it takes 50 XP to kill them, even if you shot them in the head, that's only going to take 15, you know, minus 15. And so you need to do 3 shots to get to them, or 4 shots. So it's kind of like, that's what pissed me off, was that it didn't really matter if you were accurate or not to like a really, as long as you hit them, right? It didn't matter where you hit them. And that kind of like was unattractive to me, in terms of just the shooting. But, you know, that's the whole RPG part of it, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. But I think for the sequel, you know, there's definitely a lot they can improve on. I just hope in Borderlands 2, you know, the game world feels a lot more lived in. You know, because obviously, you know, Borderlands is supposed to be set in, like, this post-apocalyptic world or whatever, but there's just nothing in it, you know, whereas you play Fallout 3, and I always compare the two games, you know, you play Fallout 3 and it feels like a lived in world. That again is a post-apocalyptic world, but you know, it feels like it's got a history, you know, there's a sense that something really did happen here, you know, and there's people about, and you know, the people have stories, where Borderlands, the only people who you ever see are the ones in the little towns, and they don't really have that much to say. You know, I always get this feeling like Pandora doesn't have a history to it or anything like that, so I just hope they can improve on that in part two. Because, like I say, the second time around, I really did enjoy it a lot more than I did the first time, so yeah, there's definitely some improvements that could be made. So I played that. I played some Wipeout on the Vita. Still enjoying that game. Come on, son. Beating your ass.
What? Wipeout on a Vita?
Yeah.
You're not beating my ass. Okay, I'm not even going to front. We had a race, and you did some really dirty shit, and you hit me off the track, and you went on, proceeded to win. I wish the shits could save replays, man, because that was pretty awesome. I was pissed, but I was like, okay, motherfucker, you got that one. Shit was hilarious.
Come on, son.
That was pretty fun, actually. But yeah, so I'm down to play. I just don't see you guys online like that. And I guess, you know, between that and BlazBlue, I would love to play more online.
I mean, honestly, I've not been on the Vita that much these past couple of weeks.
Yeah,
just because obviously, like, the biggest, like, single player game that come out that I bought was Uncharted.
Right.
And I'm frustrated as hell with that shit at the moment.
With what?
I've completed it twice. I'm pretty much at the very end of my crushing playthrough. So, have you beat it yet?
Nope.
No. Well, basically, on the crushing playthrough, like, the touchscreen melee that comes into play at the end.
Oh, God. Yeah. The touchscreen shit is horrible.
Yeah. Well, basically, when, like, you're doing the little melee combat towards the end, depending what difficulty you have it on, you have a certain amount of tries to actually get it right. So if you're playing the game on normal, you get 3 tries to actually complete this whole melee sequence. On hard, you get 2, and on crushing playthrough, you only get 1. So if you mess up once, then that's it. You have to start right from the beginning of that section again. And it just seems to me that the touchscreen melee is quite temperamental. I mean, you know, the arrows will point in different directions and you've got to swipe at the screen. And even though I know I'm going in the right direction, it's like the screen doesn't pick up on it. And it's like the screen doesn't know that I actually went in that direction. So it'll turn red. And it was just frustrating the shit out of me. Because, you know, these melee sections can be quite long. And if you get to, like, near the end and you mess up once, and you've got to do all that shit again. Because the screen's not registering what you're doing. I nearly threw the Vita through the screen. So, other than playing Uncharted, which, like I say, I've done, like, 2.5 times now, I haven't really got any other single-player games to play on like that. So Vita's just had a bit of a rest for a couple of weeks, although I did pick it up.
But that's my question to you, though, like, because I'm the opposite of you. Like, I don't play Vita, a system like the Vita, for a single-player campaign game. Like, I play Vita for, like, snippets of fun in between doing something else. So, like, let's say I'm at my house and I'm waiting for somebody and, you know, they're in the bathroom changing and we're going to go out to eat. Or, you know, I'm waiting, you know what I'm saying? Like, for stuff like that, like, if I'm waiting on somebody and I got 45 minutes or 30 minutes, or I know if I boot up my PlayStation system, by the time she gets to my house, we're going to have to go, right? So I can pick up a game like BlazBlue and play a couple rounds, or Stardust. That's a bad example, because Stardust, you kind of get into it, but, you know, like, or Wipeout, I could play a race or two, you know, or RC, yeah. MotorStorm RC, I could pick a course, and since each race is like 2 minutes, I could play a bunch of that, you know, like, for me, I enjoy it more with games that have little chunks that I could play. And then by the time they get to my house, you know, we can just leave. I can, you know, cut it off and leave. Or, like, even, like, a game like Ridge Racer is cool because I can pick a ghost and try to beat this ghost or beat this time trial in 5 minutes or 10 minutes and, you know, have some fun and then leave, you know? I don't really play it for, like, games where the story... That, and that's kind of one of the reasons why I haven't finished Uncharted yet, is because, like, I haven't... Like, the longest time I got to play that was when I was on a plane, and because I was stuck on a plane for 2.5 hours, I was able to play for, like, 2 hours, you know? And I was at the airport for, like, an hour. So I was able to play a certain amount of it because of that, but I'm typically not in a captive place for that long. And if I am, I'm just going to want to cut on my PS3 and play, you know, the big version. So I don't know. So, you know, that's just kind of how I run with it, so...
But I think that's what's good about the Vita, though, because of the capabilities of the system, you know, it feels like you are playing a console, but in your hand. So I can definitely put hours and hours and hours into a Vita game if I feel like I'm getting a console-like experience now. I mean, that analog stick, for me, it makes all the difference.
Right.
It really does. You know, playing through Uncharted, I could play that game. I did play that game for hours on end. Because, you know, other than, obviously, you know, the leap in graphics onto the PS3 and a different story, there was nothing to distinguish it between the two. You know, playing on the Vita or playing on the PS3. Mm-hmm. At least, you know, on the Vita, I can play Uncharted and I can go sit downstairs with whoever's downstairs and keep them company whilst I'm playing it, you know?
Right.
It's not like I've just, you know, properly, I'm a recluse in my bedroom, you know, playing Uncharted all day. I can take that experience downstairs with me. So I think that's good for the Vita, whereas I don't get that, well, I didn't get that same kind of, you know, experience from playing the original PSP. I don't get that same kind of experience playing on the 3DS, you know, but the Vita makes all the difference because of how gorgeous it looks and everything. So, but I think they do need to hurry up and start, you know, releasing a bunch of new games for it, and just to keep that momentum going.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think there's so much potential there that I think over the course of its lifetime, if it can keep up that momentum and the support, then I'm definitely going to be sinking a lot more hours into it. I'm waiting for a full-blown open-world RPG on that bitch. I'm waiting for the new BioShock game on that, you know?
So, yeah, but that's a ways off, right? Because they're not releasing that.
They need to, that's why I say they need to hurry up and be announcing and get releasing some new titles for it.
Right.
You know, can't just have this launch window for 2 months and then not release anything until like October, November. It's like, well, what am I supposed to do in between? You know, so they need to be getting the games out there. but I've been playing quite a bit of FIFA on the Vita as well, and yeah, I just have a love-hate relationship with FIFA on the Vita. I have a love-hate relationship with FIFA in general. I think the Vita version in particular, it really, really annoys me because it had so much potential that I think EA, again, just did not capitalise on, because they could have basically released FIFA 12 on the Vita and had cross-platform play, cloud saving, you know. On FIFA 12 on console, I'm like a level 30. That's what I've ramped up to in FIFA 12. I would love nothing more than now be able to take that save file mm-hmm. onto the Vita and take it out with me. And whilst I'm at uni, not doing anything, you know, if we're on a long break, be playing FIFA and be playing FIFA online as well.
Right.
But they didn't do that. You know, they made it a new game. It's not FIFA 12, it's FIFA Football.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they don't have any of that. And what FIFA Football is pretty much FIFA 11. It's like they ported over FIFA 11, so, you know, last year's game, and tried to pass it off as this next generation FIFA experience now available on the Vita. And, you know, they took out a lot of the new gameplay things that were going on in FIFA 12, like the tactical defending, that's non-existent. You know, that new system that I hated at first, but now I really, really hate going back to the old system. They took out the player impact engine, so where, like, when players, like, tackle each other, you know, the collisions, it looks a lot more realistic. That's not in the game anymore. And even like, certain things like the online modes. So, in FIFA 12, you have the head-to-head seasons. Now, this was a really big thing for me this year, because basically what that means is, in previous years, there was a lot of rage quitting on FIFA 12. I mean, it's understandable, because if you're playing a 90-minute in-game match, which is like, in real time, it's like 6 minutes each half. So you're pretty much looking at, you're spending 15 minutes playing one match. And if you're losing that game in the first half by a big margin, then it's like, well, I've got no reason to continue this game, so I'll just rage quit out. And that was a big thing that was going on in like FIFA 9, 10 and 11, but they fixed it for FIFA 12, because in bringing out the head-to-head seasons where everybody had something to play for, you know, head-to-head season, it was basically a league, and you're wanting to get promoted into the higher leagues instead of getting relegated into the lower leagues. So every single match you were playing, you had something to fight for. You were fighting for your place either in that league that you're already in or to get to higher league. So, you know, 90% of the rage quits just stopped because everyone was playing for a cause. Everyone was playing for their own cause. Mm-hmm. But again, they've took that out of FIFA football on the Vita. So it's more FIFA 11. People haven't got a reason to.
So people,
you know,
just. So you just need to wait for the next version, and hopefully that is synced up with the release of the full version.
Definitely.
So they need to do exactly what they did with Blaze Blue. Because the Blaze Blue on Vita and the Blaze Blue, the new, latest one for PS3, both can be synced together. So I have both. Just, and it's one file. From the Vita, you select upload to server. It uploads it to whatever server that is. And then when you're on the PS3 version, before you start your game, you select download from server, and it downloads your file, and then it has all of your points and unlocks and story progression and stuff like that. And then you could continue leveling up.
Exactly what they need to do. I mean, so when they release FIFA 13 in September on consoles, even though I've just bought FIFA on the Vita in the past month, if they release a new one, I'll pick them both up, because that's what I'm looking for.
Right.
You know, I want them to do that, so I can take FIFA on the go and continue that save and have all my stats there.
Right.
You know, so they need to do that shit. I played about an hour or so with the Saboteur today. I was looking through my games and just, you know, looking at things that I've not played for a while.
Right.
And the Saboteur was just sitting there, and I was like, you know what? That game was dope. Why the hell have I stopped playing this game?
Right. I have a lot of those.
You know? So I stuck that in, and, you know, I just lost like an hour or two in that. Not necessarily doing any of the story missions, just like messing
around. And that game gets even better when you get ranked higher, because like once you have enough rank to buy and money to buy like the silencer weapons, like I don't know if you got to that part yet, but there's a part where you could buy like a silenced pistol, and then there's a part where you could buy like a sniper rifle that's silenced. Oh my god. Once you could buy like the heavy duty rocket launchers and stuff, you're like crazy, because like you could slip through, shoot guards because your weapon is silenced, it doesn't set off any alarms, and like set your dynamite and blow shit up and then keep it moving, and like you're way more stealthy. So as you get rank up, it becomes even more dope because of the stuff you could do. So yeah, anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so yeah, I was enjoying that a lot before. So what else have I been playing? Obviously Journey and Trine. I I think that's about it. I mean, I think the past couple of weeks I played quite a lot. So, obviously my main games were like the RPGs that just took up a lot of my time, but yeah, I played through quite a few things this past couple of weeks.
I've been playing just mostly Batman Arkham City, and that was the game I got for like $10 from Best Buy in the States. Had that deal where it was like the game was already on sale for $39, and then they had like a $30 off, so it was like $10. So I grabbed that, and then they had Rage for $5, and then they also had Bulletstorm for $5. So I spent $20 and I got 3 games. So that was a pretty fucking good deal, you know? And it's the Bulletstorm limited edition. I don't know what that actually means. So I remember playing Bulletstorm. It was a pretty okay shooter. So it's kind of like a fuck around game, but I've also been doing kind of what you've been doing in that I've been looking at my shelf of stuff and I'm like, wow, I have a lot of stuff that's actually fun to play, you know? And it's like, wow, I have a nice selection, but I've, for some of the stuff that's not so great, I've been trying to get rid of it just because even keeping it around is a distraction, you know? I'd rather just keep the stuff that is actually worth playing, you know? And all that stuff. So, yeah, I'm not about quantity, I'm about quality. Like, if I'm gonna replay something, I'd rather it to be fun. And I don't need, the whack stuff around, honestly. Because I have enough cool stuff that's even worth replaying. So, yeah, I have a lot of stuff to play. Like, I don't need any games to come out till the fall, really, honestly. Because, I mean, I have, like, Rage, Deus Ex, I never beat. I never even beat Ico or Shadow of the Colossus. Rayman, I didn't beat that. Origins, I didn't beat that. Dark Souls, I just put that shit down. Because it pissed me off. I didn't finish Gran Turismo 5, right? I didn't finish Shadows of the Damned. I bought that for like $7. I still never beat Dante's Inferno Divine Edition that I got for like $5-$7. Then I got all these fighting games, and who knows when I'm ever going to finish, you know, get competent in those. Mortal Kombat, Blaze Blue, the new one, Street Fighter Cross Tekken, King of Fighters, like all of this shit that's just sitting here. I never even beat Portal 2, that's sitting here, you know. It's just shit. I still got Battlefield 3, I never even touched a campaign. Like, Virtual Tennis 4, I still haven't played that in a while, but that's, I never beat the campaign on that either. The tour, which I didn't want to, because you unlock certain things, so. Yeah, there's stuff to play, man, you know. I don't really need shit to come out, honestly. And then there's all of the, like, downloadable shit you could play, right? So, like, that Vampire Betrayal game. Remember that shit? What was that shit called? Blood Rain Betrayal? I never even beat that. Have you beat that?
No, I don't even think I got off the first stage.
Oh, really?
I
got to, like, third stage.
I kept dying at like, the end boss of that stage and some shit. And I was fuck that.
I got, like, to the third stage. Or whatever. Like, there's a bunch of game, like, downloadable shit, so.
But I think for me, at this point, it's because, like, I'm still, like, so broke because of the Vita. That's, like, killed me. Mm-hmm. And, like, just my birthday and, like, family's birthdays throughout March, so I've been pretty much broke.
Right.
So it's not like I've been, you know, just throwing money at all these games. I think, you know, in the whole of March, the only game I bought was Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Right.
So, you know, the past few weeks has given me the opportunity to, you know, spend some time with these other games. You know?
And there's a lot of them. Like, damn, I got Metal Gear Solid HD Collection. Like, there's all these games that, like, I bought that's just sitting there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this, like, you know, this year already, there's already games that I've missed that I've not been able to pick up that I've really wanted to and I really want to play. You know, The Darkness 2 and Kingdoms of Amalur. I definitely want to pick up them. Jak and Daxter, HD collection I want to pick up, but I just can't afford it at the moment. So I'm happy with Skyrim right now. Silent Hill, HD collection, I made sure that I've put money away for that this week. But other than that, it's like, nope. You know, I'll save up and invest in a Fight Stick for PS3. But gaming wise, I need to try and chill on that and just finish off some of the shit that I've already got.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, I kind of went talking more to your point, but so I've been playing Batman Arkham City, and that was the game that, like, it came out, what, last November or October or some shit like that, right?
Yeah.
Last fall, and none of us talked about it at all, right? I think some of us played it and just didn't, I don't know. Like, I wasn't really that hyped for it because I felt like it was, like, more of, like, I put so much time into, I feel like I put so much time into Batman Arkham City. I mean, Arkham Asylum, that, like, after I beat the game, I didn't even want to see it. Like, I just didn't want to, like, see it, seriously. Cause, like, I really was hunting for the Joker. I did, like, completed, like, almost everything in that game. And I was just like, I don't even think I did complete everything in the game. I tried. But at some point, I was just like, oh, fuck this shit, right? So I was just like, oh, okay, it's going to be more of the same, you know?
Yeah.
And so I've been playing it, and it's way better. It's way better. It's definitely similar in that, you know, the way Batman is controls and the way he fights, but they definitely stepped up the combat even more so that, like, if you're not super savvy with, like, you know, Twitch games, you could mash the button to a certain level of success, but, like, if you really want to get fancy and learn how to be fancy, you can and have that kind of control, so it's dope. You get all the gadgets from the beginning, so it's not like Zelda where, you know, how in the first game you had, like, the Batarangs and the remote control Batarangs and the explosive gel and all of that stuff that you used to have, but now you start the game over and you don't have shit. You know, it's not, they don't do that. You have, like, the core equipment, for the most part when you start the game, and you get a few enhancements and stuff, which is cool, you know? So I like that too, that they were able to, like, not be stupid like that. And I think the story is really good. Like, I really like and appreciate the story. It's, so far, has had me pretty much wanting to play through it to, like, just, like, get to the next part to uncover, you know, get access to this building to get to the Penguin or whoever, you know? And then after that, to get to Mr. Freeze and all of that stuff. So, like, it has more villains, more super villains, and they're all wrapped up more neatly, and it feels like, since you're in Arkham City, it has more of that Gotham feel because, like, you're literally in a mini portion of the city where you can fly from, you can travel from building to building, and you're on top of roofs and you're running around and, you know, jumping down alleys and fighting people and stuff. So it feels more like a Batman game than the first one does. It's less like the first game. I felt like I was confined in buildings all the time, you know? And this one is just more variety. So yeah, it's a really good game. I'm glad I waited though, like, cause, you know, it's one of those games where if you didn't buy it before and you happen to be able to get it for cheap, buy it, cause it's totally worth it in content and quality. But, you know, I mean, shit, $60 is a lot. So games like that are perfect games to, like, not buy when they come out, you know? Because it's not going anywhere and it's going to drop in price. Like, so I'm kind of happy that I didn't buy it when it came out, but I'm still able to enjoy it. It has all the challenge rooms and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's cool. I'm enjoying that. So, I tried to play Rage, but that's like all brown and a post-apocalyptic, like Fallout 3. You know, did you play Rage? Any?
Yeah, I've got Rage. I don't know. The aiming felt kind of janky to me.
Oh, really?
And it kind of put me off. It didn't feel as tight as other first-person shooters, you know?
Right. I could see that.
It felt kind of weird, so it just kind of put me off it. I thought, you know, this is a big ass RPG. I can't go through this game with this janky fucking aiming, you know? So, and not only that, I mean, I put a few hours into it, and nothing really interested me in it. I mean, yeah, the game looked nice, but it felt like there was no substance to it. It bored me to tears, actually, for the first few hours.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So that was the end of my experience with Rage.
Yeah, so, yeah, I have that sitting here. I've been playing a lot of King of Fighters 13. I already told you guys I really like that game. So my personal, like, springtime mini mission is to get back on fighting games and, like, really, like, break some of my arcade stick buttons. You know, I'm trying to, like, get back into fighting games in a casual, fun way, but just, like, my control sticks have dust on them. My joysticks have dust on them. And there's no reason why they should, you know? So, I mean, there's a lot of good fighting games out, Blaze Blue and all that stuff. I just plan to, like, put those more in rotation. And I feel like, especially now, there's not a lot of first-person shooters that, like, I'm addicted to. So, why not play fighting games, you know? Like, Battlefield is not really what I wanted it to be, so fuck it, you know? The only game that I really do think I want to get back into... Well, not the only game, that's stupid. Haha. One of the games I do want to get back into, Uncharted 3 multiplayer. I mean, well, yeah. I don't quite remember when I did it. I must have been either drunk or half asleep, but I bought, the Fortune Hunter Club Pass, which is that pass that was like $30, I think, or $24, right? 24. Yeah. And you get access to like all of the content that comes out for the game. So, I wasn't sure if I had, but I think I did, because I got an email, a message from Sony, like, hey, Fortune Hunter Club member, download the free, you can download the co-op map pack for free. So I'm like, oh shit, I did do it. So, I downloaded that, and I'm gonna just try to use some of those maps, you know, like... I liked some of the stuff they done with Uncharted, so I'm gonna try to play some multiplayer on that or whatever. I don't really see anybody on my list playing it ever, but maybe I could like start that.
I mean, for me, shooters in general like that, I only have fun playing when I'm playing with people that I know.
Right.
So Uncharted, unless you're playing it, unless Talon's playing it, or Illmatic, I ain't jumping on that shit.
Right.
You know, that's just the way it goes. Not to take anything away from Uncharted as a whole in the single player. That, you know, I just don't have any fun playing that game alone.
You know what?
Same as Battlefield 3, I'm like, I've not even touched that game because ain't nobody playing it. But then I was thinking about it, like, during the week, and I was like, you know what, to be honest, I prefer Bad Company 2 anyway to Battlefield 3. I'd much rather play Bad Company 2 than I would Battlefield 3. Mm. I just definitely would.
You know? I don't know, man. I started to get into Battlefield 3. I really did. And then I guess I went on my couple trips, so I need to just pop that in and just fuck with it. I did start to get into it, though, but I never really felt quite as hooked as I did when I was playing Battlefield 3, to your point, Bad Company. So I think, yeah, you're right. I think Part 2 was definitely a little bit more, fun.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with you on that, yeah. I think, yeah.
I mean, because, you know, even though I really enjoyed playing, like, Conquest on the Caspian Border map,
mm-hmm.
You know, I never really had any of the experiences that we had playing Bad Company 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, the kind of shit that we were doing in Bad Company 2, I never really had that in Battlefield 3. And it just kind of just turned me off the game of it. So, You know, it's like, if this game can't like emulate and better the kind of fun that I'm going to have on Bad Company 2, then what's the point in even playing it? Right. You know?
True that. So yeah, so that's it. I don't know what else we have to talk about. I think that wraps it up. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah. That wraps it up. I do have some random shit to talk about. I've been watching a lot of UK shows lately. So I've been trying out Hulu Plus. And they have this show called Misfits. Do you watch that shit?
No.
It's a BBC show.
I've heard of it, but I've not watched it.
So it's basically like these kids who are like, you know, I don't know the UK slang for it, but they're like some derelict kids, right? They're like teenagers, and they're like doing community service because they all like did some illegal shit or got caught.
Scholars. Yeah. Scholars and chaps.
Yeah, yeah. So, and they're doing their community service, and then there's this crazy freak storm, and then they get hit by lightning, and they get these powers. And then one dude can, like, be invisible, and the other chick, whatever dude she touches, wants to, like, fuck the shit out of her. One dude, I can't tell you his power because it's a kind of a spoiler, because they reveal it, like, 4 episodes later. One dude can turn back time, and then one chick can read minds, and then they meet other people who got caught in the storm who get powers, too. So it's kind of like Heroes, but it's better, you know, and it's way more, you know, they show like, it's a little bit more graphic, you know, they show people fucking and they show like, you have the curses and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a pretty cool show. I've been watching that, and I've also been watching, Luther. Have you watched that show?
Nope.
It won a Golden Globe. It's with that dude, Idris Elba, whatever. He's a detective. Kind of like a Sherlock Holmes type of motherfucker. That's on Netflix Instant Watch. And that's pretty good too, actually. Pretty good show. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know what that has to do with anything. It doesn't. So yeah. Word up. So, Game Makes Podcast. And we are out.
Peace.
Peace.